First, let's take a look at our headlines for this hour. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel praises advances in computerization.
Cuba reiterates complaint about the negative impact of U.S. blockade.
Spain offers port to stranded ship. Open arms cannot reach the port of Algeciras.
Palestinian resistance groups warn Israel after strikes.
And now the news in detail. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel had words of praise for the process of the computerization program underway throughout the island. The Cuban leader also highlighted the creation of new video games for the benefit of Cuban society. The Cuban government gives special importance to the process of computerization in society and to the development of information and communications technologies in the country. Cuban Communications Minister Jorge Luis Perdomo recently said on a television program here in Cuba, "Its technological and infrastructure base is precisely the development of telecommunications on the island." He emphasized that this policy is a priority for the government because of the direct influence on the economy, among other aspects. However, he said the U.S. blockade against Cuba and its resurgence following the activization of Title III of the Helms-Burton Law has had a negative impact on the development of that sector.
Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez reiterated that it is the U.S. blockade of the island that is the main obstacle to the economic development of the country. Cuba's top diplomat noted that for nearly 60 years, the U.S. government has imposed an economic, commercial, and financial blockade on the island to try to force regime change. On May the 2nd, the current administration of Donald Trump activated Titles 3 and 4 of the Helms-Burton Law, criticized by experts for its marked extraterritorial nature.
Spain on Sunday offered Algeciras as a port to disembark over 100 migrants on a charity rescue ship stranded off the coast of Italy after the vessel had spent more than 2 weeks waiting for a safe port to be made available. The migrants, most of whom are African, were picked up by the open arms boat off the coast of Libya and have been waiting to disembark on the southern Italian island of Lampedusa. Italy's far-right Interior Minister, Matteo Salvini, has ordered his officials not to let them land, although he made a partial concession on Saturday by allowing 27 young minors to leave the boat. Spanish acting Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez said on Twitter, "Spain always acts on humanitarian emergencies. It is necessary to establish an orderly and supportive European solution, leading the migration challenge with the EU's values of progress and humanism." Sanchez took the decision to offer the Spanish port to dock open arms because of the emergency situation on board, the statement said. He also criticized the inconceivable response of Italian authorities, especially Salvini. While observers questioned his humanity, Salvini said triumphantly on Facebook that Spain's decision vindicated his hard-line stance.
Hamas and Islamic Jihad, two Palestinian resistance movements based in the Israeli blockaded Gaza Strip, have issued stern warnings to Israel following Israeli strikes that killed three Gazans. Saturday, the Israeli military said helicopter, gunship, and tank fire had killed three, quote, armed suspects along the fence separating the coastal sliver from occupied Palestinian lands. Ma'an News Agency said at least one other Palestinian had suffered critical injuries in the overnight attack. Hamas rejected on Sunday, saying the pressure that the Palestinian nation was being subjected to threatened to cause, quote, its rage against the occupiers to explode. Such eruption could only be prevented if Tel Aviv ended its atrocities, acts of terrorism, and siege targeting the Palestinians, a Hamas spokesperson said. He emphasized that the international community's silence and inaction in the face of the regime ran counter to international law and humanitarian principles and encouraged Tel Aviv to perpetuate more such crimes.
And you've tuned to the news here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of RHC, Radio Havana, Cuba. Now let's go back over to our news. In the United States, union workers at a Royal Dutch Shell's manufacturing facility in western Pennsylvania, where U.S. President Donald Trump delivered a speech last week, had been told to attend the event or lose out on wages. According to reports, a contractor sent a memo to union leaders saying that the attendance was not mandatory, but noted that only the employees who arrived there at 7 a.m. and were ready to have their identification cards scanned and attend the speech by Trump would receive their pay. This, according to a report by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Meanwhile, Shell spokesman Ray Fisher told the New York Times in a statement that it is understood that some would choose not to attend the presidential visit and were given the option to take paid time off. He said, as of any other work week, if someone chooses to take paid time off, they're not eligible to receive the maximum overtime available. The event of Trump's speech was regarded as a training day for workers, Fisher said, adding that such a guest happened to be the president. Also, several other companies with Shell contractors, along with their employees, attended the speech, according to the Gazette, which cited many employees as saying that their contracts required them to be present at the event of Trump's speech to receive pay.
Gibraltar has rejected a renewed U.S. request demanding the seizure of the tanker Grace One, which has been renamed Adrian Daraya One. The ship is expected to set sail from Gibraltar on Sunday evening. The British Overseas Territory rejected a warrant issued Friday by a federal court in Washington that sought the supertanker's arrest, the oil it carried, and almost $1 million found on board. The U.S. request came into conflict with the EU law under which Gibraltar governs and led, quote, to the differences in the sanctions regimes made applicable to Iran in the EU and the U.S., it said in a statement on Sunday. The EU sanctions regime against Iran, which is applicable in Gibraltar, is much narrower than that applicable in the United States, it explained. This was the second time in a week that Washington tried to prevent Grace One from departing Gibraltar. On Thursday, the U.S. Justice Department made a last-minute effort to seize the oil tanker, filing the necessary formal request just hours before it had been cleared to sail.
The United Nations World Food Program says that the situation in the landlocked country of Zimbabwe, located in southern Africa, is extremely deteriorating and will leave more than 4.7 million people in a situation of food insecurity. Zimbabwe's and Mozambique's populations were hit by deadly cyclones earlier this year. These climate disasters, along with other extreme weather events, destroyed crops and created a situation of food security that is now rapidly worsening. Citing the Zimbabwe Vulnerability Assessment Committee, a consortium of government, UN agencies, and non-governmental organizations and other international organizations, the World Food Program said that the hunger period will have its peak at the height of the lean season from January through March of next year, when 59% of rural households, over 5.5 million people, will find themselves in a situation of food insecurity. The WFP, the World Food Program, said that given the scale and scope of the food insecurity in Zimbabwe, the program is planning to scale up to assist over 2 million people by the peak of the early part of next year, according to UN experts.
At least 63 people have been killed after a powerful blast rocked a wedding reception in the western part of Afghanistan's capital, Kabul. Nearly 200 people have been injured. The explosion that ripped through the wedding hall, bustling with guests, claimed 63 lives. Interior Ministry spokesman Nasrat Rahim confirmed early Sunday, adding that another 182 people have suffered injuries. Witnesses said the building was packed with guests when the blast struck, as it's Afghani tradition to invite hundreds of people to weddings. Videos on social media showed shocked women screaming and crying outside the Shar El Dubai wedding hall. Gruesome photos reportedly taken at the scene of the tragedy pictured bodies scattered on the floor amid overturned tables and chairs. Conflicting reports have emerged as to the number of people killed and injured in the apparent suicide bombing. Tolo News reported earlier on Sunday, citing sources, that at least 40 people were killed and over 100 people were injured in the blast.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel praises advances in computerization.
Cuba reiterates complaint about the negative impact of U.S. blockade.
Spain offers port to stranded ship. Open arms cannot reach the port of Algeciras.
Palestinian resistance groups warn Israel after strikes.